4 o'clock hour. I guess it's only appropriate since we started the show with Pepas because the Heat won last night. I guess it's only appropriate that you start one of the hours, Jimmy, with a little Go Cats Go, celebrate the Panthers victory from last night. I don't know if this is sustainable throughout the entirety of the NBA and NHL seasons, Jimmy. I'm more inclined to say let's play Go Cats Go after some sort of huge victory or maybe playoffs or whatever. I just think we're going to be caught in a rut if we're playing Pepas and Go Cats Go after every win this season.
I'll pick my spots.
Jimmy Butler.
That was a great response. Pick my spots.
Huh?
A great response. It's exactly what I was looking for. And yep. He, like, I didn't even have to say, hey, how about you just pick your spots? Like, he gathered it from what I said, and that was exactly it.
Am I picking the music or not?
Big man.
Would have been funnier if you said that the first time. I mean, great. Hey, Jackass, am I picking the music or not?
Go, Cats, go.
Anyway, talked a lot of NFL in the last segment. I'll remind everybody again, if you're just joining us, so Crowder wasn't on the show on Friday. I knew why. Solana knew why. Jimmy knew why. But he was taping a sit-down interview with Barack Obama, and it's up on The Pivot now. So if you don't yet subscribe to The Pivot, go to YouTube and hit subscribe. Obviously, Obama agreed to come on The Pivot because you guys already have a ton of subscribers. He's reaching a lot of people with his message, but it is just an exciting, I just find it exciting that you got to spend some time with him and that, he did to you what you do to everyone else, which is pretend that he knows you and he's aware of who you are. Like Crowdered. But you got crowded by Barack Obama, which is the ultimate in cool.
Yeah. This wasn't Liam Eikenberg. This was Barack Obama. It's pretty cool. Go on YouTube, watch it. It's awesome, and it's a good time. We have fun. We talk about it's the politics season and all that, voting season. But yeah, we talked to him. He talked about life. He talked about his wife. He talked about everything. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, he was a legendary figure. I mean, he's one of the guys that I look up to. Yeah, I mean, as a father and just as a person, obviously a community organizer, began in Chicago, just one of the guys that I look up to in life. He is an absolute American hero. There's very few of those. And you got to spend, when I'm talking about an absolute hero, and you got to spend time with them. Really cool. What a pinch me moment.
For both of us to be sex symbols was a weird thing, like to sit there with somebody that, you know, might in some
was almost your equal.
We're equals. Equal. Yeah, that was the part that, like, it was weird for me to sit up.
So what did he respond when you asked him that? Because I saw that you asked him, we're both dimes sitting here. Was there a follow-up question? Because I haven't seen the rest of it.
Yeah, no, I asked about being dimes and then, like, you know, the attention that you get, you know, for being, you know, a good-looking guy. Like, he's really, like, he's on list as, like, a sex symbol. And so he's so intelligent that he answers it in a way. He's like, you know, as a football player, y'all get famous and well known at 20 something years old. He was like, before I was, you know, that, you know, that wherever the world knew my face and I would get that attention, I was older. I had two daughters. I was married. Like, it's Barack Obama. The answer is well thought out, even though it was on the spot. Like, it's an amazing interview. Everybody should go watch it. You will enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it tonight. He is, he's got a gift, man. He has got a gift. Let's get headlines. Start out the 4 o'clock hour. Clay Ferrero from Local 10 is going to join us this hour. We can talk some more Dolphins with him if we so desire. Headlines brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory, like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. And remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
All right, gentlemen. So Panthers won yesterday, like we heard the music for, and the Heat won yesterday as well. Not much professional sports action going on tonight. FIU does host the Aggies of New Mexico State tonight at Pitbull Stadium. So that's happening locally. And then the World Series, of course, tonight. Game four, the Yanks trying to save their season down 3-0 in the series.
I mean, I'm not going to bet on it. Not that I have any money in the account, but I wouldn't do that to you anyway. That's like getting in on a hot craps roll. And so you throw your money in there and you ruin it for everybody else. So I would not do that to you. But the Yankees tonight are minus 135 favorites. If you're thinking of hedging, Crowder, they're minus 135 favorites. Dodgers are plus 115 and the over under 8.5 runs.
Yeah. Some little big head boy hit a home run in the ninth inning to make it 4-2 last night, and I was hot.
Oh, and let me look and see what, like, if there's an Aaron Judge hit prop or something.
Oh, under. Under.
So him to get a hit tonight is minus 225. They are expecting Aaron Judge will at least get a hit tonight.
Are we doing trends? Because he's 1-for-12.
Mm-hmm.
The whole they got to bounce back thing. But I'll tell you this. Like, now I come watching. I got money on it. The Dodgers damn bullpen, they coming out slinging that thing. The guy that ended the game last night was throwing 99s and 101s back to back to back. Straight over the plate. Y'all just try to hit it, and they couldn't hit it.
Anybody watch the Jimmy Fallon show last night? See a couple of – you talk about American heroes. A couple of American heroes – getting some AJ, screen time yesterday.
Big Justice and the Rizzler.
Rizzo?
Nope. The Rizzler.
Well, who that is?
It was something last night. I don't think Jimmy Fallon wanted them there. My wife, I told you, Solana, I just showed them these guys, AJ and Big Justice, and made her watch, you know, like 15 videos. I sent her the video last night of Fallon. And she's like, oh, my God, I'm so sick of these guys. She's seen them for 10 minutes total.
That's the world.
You don't know these guys, Crowder? Boom, 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 boom.
We bring the boom. We bring the boom to you.
They're rappers?
No. And they brought Jimmy Fallon double fudge chocolate chunk cookies.
What is that?
Yeah, never mind.
Yeah. There's a double chunk chocolate chip cookies. Yeah. Double chunk chocolate chip cookies.
They are delicious.
Chicken baked.
White fellas?
Oh, very white.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I get it now.
All right, so couple stories that I want to get to. First of all, today, October 29th, Knoxberry Farm reopens for their new season. You can go get whatever you want to call them, the cinnamon rolls, the Cinnabuns, whatever the hell you want to call them, at Knoxberry Farm, the most iconic ones in South Florida. Have fun waiting in a three-hour line starting today.
Out.
Would have never had them ever if they didn't bring them to the station for us that time.
Remember that?
Yep.
I know you guys don't live in like Southwest Miami-Dade, but Hawk, you went to UM. Crowder, I'm sure you've heard of the shops at Sunset Place, Sunset Mall, down in right off Dixie, or on Dixie, actually, US 1. No?
Well, I drive through there to go to the Keys.
No, you don't drive near
well,
here.
Well, no, you'd be going the wrong way.
I don't go that way to go to the Keys. I kind of skipped that whole portion of South Florida.
So this is in South Miami, and it's been there.
How long does it take you to get to see?
6 hours. It'll take y'all 6 hours to get to Isla Mirada. I take the roads.
Crowder goes the scenic route, right down US 1.
It's going the wrong way.
I want to experience Miami. I go to the scenic route.
So it's kind of like an iconic South Florida location. Hawk, I'm sure you went there when you were at UM.
Wasn't it Bakery Center back when I was at UM?
In the early 80s, I think. But they tore that down by the time you got to UM.
No, it was the Bakery Center.
Really? Yeah. Well, since I've been alive, it was Sunset Mall, Sunset Place. And it's a ghost town, so they're literally tearing that down. And they're going to
build. There was a Johnny Rockets there for a while.
There was. Yeah. That's where Marino's.
What's that little dirty mall off the turnpike?
In Florida City.
North of Florida City, Cutler Ridge, Cutler Bay or something like that.
Southland Mall.
Southland, yeah, I go that way.
They're refurbishing that as well. They're making that into like how Doral City Place looks like now. They're putting a ton of money into that.
Yeah. Last time I was there, it had 11 stores.
Well, anyways.
A kid's Foot Locker. No big.
Yeah, it
no
says Bakery Center was demolished in 96. Huh. So it was definitely from 87 to 91. It was Baker because they had a movie theater there, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's going away again, and they're going to build like a whole new development, high rises with, another movie theater.
Great location. It's crazy that it doesn't work there.
Nothing works there. It is crazy.
That Waze takes you the wrong way to the Keys.
Ronde texting us, Yankees will win tonight. Dodgers only got the bullpen guys going. I got five on it.
Dollars? OG, I got a lot more than that, man. Jump on my side.
Today is National Cat Day, and what better way to celebrate National Cat Day than by listening to the most famous cat moment on this radio station.
Great celebration.
One of the biggest blowouts I remember. Is my cat in here? No, I can swear I just
saw
a cat run to the studio and touch you.
You got problems, bro.
I remember. No, I just thought I saw a cat. I don't know how that would be a problem. I just didn't see the cat.
What's his name?
I don't know. My cat's Nova. I didn't know if it was my cat or not. If I mispronounce my cat, I do apologize.
Every time you hear that, it just like you see something different, right? It's like looking at a gemstone or something. Every time you look at it, you see something new. Every time you listen to that, you just hear something new. It's every time is like the first time.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
He's so stunned. Like that's John Renshaw on this radio station on 560 WQAM. It sounds to me like he's seeing a cat that doesn't exist actually in the studio. It sounds like there may be mind-altering substances at play here. Poor Alex Dono is caught in the studio with him. But Dono, fair question. What's the cat's name or whose cat is it? Like, there's some fair questions there. Renshaw is stunned by the follow-up questions. I don't know. He had not given thought to some of the stuff that he was saying. Play it one more time just so we can really get the experience.
Dono pressed him.
He pressed him, and Renshaw was not ready for it.
One of the biggest blowouts I remember. Is my cat in here? No, I can swear I just
I don't
saw
think
a cat
so.
Run to the studio and touch you.
You got problems, bro.
I remember. No, I just thought I saw a cat. I don't know how that would be a problem. I just didn't see the cat.
What's his name?
I don't know. My cat's Nova. I didn't know if it was my cat or not. If I mispronounce my cat, I do apologize.
So, obviously, there's several things at play here. First of all, who's he apologizing to if he mispronounced his cat's name incorrectly? And how would you ever pronounce your own cat's name incorrectly? Because you're the one that named him. It's not like you took him home and he said, by the way, I'm Nova. Like, you named him. So whatever you call him is fine. You cannot mispronounce your own cat's name. You're the one naming him. If you feel like changing his name, you can change his name. The cat doesn't know. So why he's apologizing to the cat is hard to fathom. I feel like I would be more surprised than Renshaw if a cat ran into the studio. Now, granted, I'm broadcasting at home, and the cat does walk in my studio, but he was at the QAM studios.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure they had a no cats policy, and he doesn't seem so surprised. It's kind of like casual. Oh, did I just see a cat walk through here? Like, it was, you know what I mean? Like, you're doing a radio show. You're not expecting a cat. By the way, the studio doors, like, they close tightly and they're heavy. so that there's not a lot of noise. So it'll be very, like, you'd be surprised if a cat walked in on its own. You know what I mean? Like, to, just to open the door.
Open the door and
would
just
be an incredible feat.
What up, fellas?
A cat, yeah. And he's just like, you guys see that cat? No, I thought it ran right up to you. Well, what's the cat's name? Yeah, fair question by Dono. Because let's go down to the, let's get to the layers here. I'll start with what's his name? And right, I don't know. Because he's kind of thinking like, well, that's a stupid question. I don't know. You're seeing this crazy stray cat that just walked in here. And then he's like, you know what? Maybe I brought the cat. If it's my cat, it's Nova. But I'm having a tough time remembering if I brought the cat or not. And if I did mispronounce Nova's name, I apologize. But I want to know what the rest of that show sounded like.
Nova somewhere listening, talking to his buddies. Man, I appreciate that, man.
I'm talking now. Dan Marino is in studio. No, that's me. It's me, Alex Dono. Well, I don't know. You look like Dan Marino, and your jersey says Dan Marino.
My real name is Nova. You tighten up.
Really wild what's going on there. But today is National Cat Day. There really is no better way to celebrate. Play it one more time just so we can have something to remember until next National Cat Day.
One of the biggest blunts I remember. Is my cat in here? No, I can swear I
don't think
a cat
so.
Run to the studio and touch you.
You got problems, bro.
I remember. No, I just thought I saw a cat. I don't know how that would be a problem. I just didn't see the cat.
What's his name?
I don't know. My cat's Nova. I didn't know if it was my cat or not. If I mispronounce my cat, I do apologize.
And he goes, I didn't know if it was my cat or not. I mean, wouldn't you be slightly concerned if your cat showed up? Like, I don't know where you live. But if I was, like, if we were at the Kaseya Center yesterday doing the show,
and Rocky
and my cat walked by,
Rocky just walked
by. I kind of feel like I would be more taken aback by it. What and the hell is going on here? You know, it wouldn't be like, hey, Crowder knows my cat's here. Like, what? Like, I feel like I'd be more surprised.
And he touched me.
I swear.
He touched you.
You a cat guy.
A lot going on in that clip. Play just the beginning one more time, because there's one thing that also jumps out at me.
One of the biggest blunts I remember. Is my cat in here? No, I can swear.
I don't think so.
He goes, is my cat in here? And apparently he's really expecting an answer from someone, so he waits. But no one gives him an answer.
No.
Unless someone across, the glass in the studio held up a no sign. But he waited for the answer. Is my cat in here? No. I could have sworn I saw a cat.
My son, text him. No.
No.
Well, that of course.
A moment. Have we ever talked to Alex Dono about that? Have we ever interviewed Dono about that?
I want to think we have.
Feel like we have too.
Yeah, Donald's so nice. He was like
nice. I mean, I would immediately have had video up on my phone and like that thing you have to recognize immediately. I am part of something special here on the radio.
Well, I didn't see the cat. He might have seen a cat.
Yeah, like Donald's still like kind of giving the possibility that maybe your cat is in here and I'm just not seeing him.
Yeah, so nice.
He's so pleasant.
Yep. Well, that moment, of course, turned into one of the greatest moments on the Miami Hurricanes radio broadcast as well.
That's right.
Is my cat in here?
What's his name?
I don't know. My cat's Nova. I don't know if it's my cat or not. If I mispronounce my cat's name, I do apologize.
That was magical. Joe Z participated in it. Like,
what's his
name? That was magical. What's his name?
I don't know. My cat's Nova.
And if you want any idea of what the rest of that show sounded like, here's a brief clip.
Path, path, pus.
Because what's the first line he's saying? The play it just again.
Yeah, it's he tries to say blowout, I believe.
Is that what he was saying?
Biggest blowouts I remember.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah,
so.
Blowout. You're right.
One of the biggest blowouts I remember.
One I've ever seen. But he's saying blowout. You're right.
There's been some characters on our station.
Holy hell.
There's been some characters.
There has been some characters.
Good news, guys, as we get to the end of headlines. It looks like the McDonald's McFlurry machine, you know, it's always broken. You want to go get a McFlurry. I know you're not a big McFlurry guy, Hawk, but this is a common
issue. Never had one.
Not true. We found out you had the grandma's
you're right.
McFlurry or whatever.
Yep, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm a big McFlurry guy.
He'll lie quick, boy. Look at him.
Yeah. He just digs into a bit is what it is. Like, he forgets that he's already out of himself.
I'm not a McFlurry guy. You're right. But I did try the Grandma McFlurry. You're right.
Oreo.
It was good.
Oreo's the best.
Yep. Oreos. So, there's an issue. You go to McDonald's normally at night. You want an ice cream, and the McFlurry machine's always broken. But it looks like that issue could be solved because they only had one company called Taylor that had the exclusive rights to repair them around all the McDonald's in the United States, but a U.S. copyright office granted an exemption. So now third-party companies can't be hired to go replace or repair these McFlurry machines.
Oh. Sounds like the kind of grip that Steph and Tree have on our stuff. We can't get anyone else in to repair stuff. We have some sort of exclusive deal with them.
Milkshake machines are hard to upkeep.
I mean, what is it? It's a thing that spins.
No, you got to have three different energy levels that it freezes up on
energy
you.
Levels,
I know I have a milkshake machine.
I have a milkshake machine, too, downstairs called Blender.
Damn milkshake machine.
Oh, wait, but I have to plug it in three places? It's a blender. I mean, what are we
talking about? Electrician to come out. Electrician has to put three power.
They get milkshakes in like 1925. I mean, they didn't need, like, they had just invented electricity. Like, what do you mean you need three power sources?
I don't know how they did it back then.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know.
Hawk, what was that like in 1925, going to down to the parlor drugstore to get a malt milkshake?
The parlor. A malt does make a milkshake better.
Did you talk to the soda jerk?
Yeah, great call. Soda jerk.
What's that?
Good call.
It's the guy who makes the soda. That was like that. That was it. Was the soda jerk? You know, they used to make. There's one place. You're in New York right now. I just saw this on Twitter the other day. There's one place in the U.S. left making Coca-Cola the way that they made it back in the 20s and 30s and whatever, where they actually spritz some of the syrup in a cup and then they add soda water and then they stir it up and whatever. And the place is in New York. But the guys who do that were called the soda jerks.
Hey, people up here aren't very nice.
Okay. All right.
Is it like seltzer water with syrup?
Yeah. Yeah, it's soda water with syrup. But it used to not come prepackaged. They would give you, you know, you'd buy the syrup and the soda jerk would make your soda.
You say syrup funny.
Syrup.
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 There you go. You got it now.
But why would I talk like I just had Novocaine?
It's syrup.
Syrup?
You hold the damn R's. They ate R's. Syrup.
Syrup.
All right, those are your headlines. Your weather now from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7. Partly cloudy right now, like 80 degrees. Gentlemen, that is your weather.
All right, Clay Ferrero. And if I've mispronounced Clay's name, I apologize.
Coming up next on the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Meow.
Hawk and Crowder.
Let's talk with Clay Ferrero here. He's on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. And I remind you, if you're looking for Canes merch, Dolphins merch, you can check out Caneswear on University Drive in Davie or caneswear.com online. You see Clay on Local 10, sports reporter and anchor, and a longtime friend of the program. Hello, Clay.
Hello, Hawk. I am actually probably about, oh, I don't know, 40 feet away from perhaps my favorite member of the Crowder family right now.
Oh.
Asia's at the school, Clay.
Well, I love her too, but you come on. Come on, Channing. You know my
it's
favorite.
It's Ava.
Yes.
Little Ava.
Yeah.
Ava is my favorite. I don't mind saying that.
Oh, they see basketball season.
Yep. So we got so Adlin's in fifth, my oldest, and Ava's in sixth. So they're practicing next to each other on the same full court.
That's cool. Clay, she was so worried about making that team. And I'm like, I told her, this is my advice, Clay. I don't know if I'm a great father. I said, you're a monster. And monsters don't act like monsters. They know they're monsters. Go out there and play like a monster. And she ended up
Ooh,
making the team.
I like that. I'm going to steal that, by the way.
I mean, was that great? I mean, what are we doing here, Clay? Denzel, with another great phrase off a pillow.
Jason Voorhees doesn't walk around acting like he's scary. He knows he's scary.
I would like to list for you, Clay, my favorite Crowders in order. I'll go Ava number one as well. Jay Crowder too, of course. Yeah. Randy and Pauline. Man, where is Crowder Channing on this list?
I might not make this list.
I know. I'm going to go Chaz. Then I go Chaz.
Yeah, Clay. You're going to love Chaz, Clay.
Father-in-law. Who's not even a Crowder.
I think Chaz got his dad's genes.
Oh, yeah. Clay, oh, yeah. You've seen Chaz at the basketball practice. Yeah, Chaz is wide open.
Yeah. The mayor walks in and instantly Chaz is stumping for votes, just like Channing.
Yeah, Clay, it's either amazing human or prison. And that's what
there's no in between.
I kind of did both of them, so I'm
let's talk some Dolphins so we don't just waste all of Clay's time. Are you losing confidence in Mike McDaniel? Did you love Mike McDaniel the first two seasons? Were you always leery? Have you lost confidence? Like, where are you on him?
So I think it's two different discussions. I love Mike McDaniel, the human. I love the story. I love everything that he brings, like what he's about, his value. Like just the idea that you meet players and people on their level and you're able to work with them individually. Mike McDaniel, the head coach, has concerned me since the end of his first season, and I wanted to see going into year two if some of the same issues were going to pop up again, and they did. And then now we're seeing them again in year three. And those are how many pre-snap penalties, man, and not getting play calls in quickly. And there's just a lot of stuff that's going on with the team that unfortunately scream a lack of discipline, lack of attention to detail. And look, coaches say, oh, it starts with me. Well, it really does start with you. It really does start with the head coach. And I think, unfortunately, at the end of year one, you're looking at a coach that, even though he was the offensive coordinator, wasn't the play caller in San Francisco. So then he comes here, and it's really not just first time as a head coach, but calling plays, and you see a lot of the same operational issues. And so you give him grace year one, but it does raise a red flag a little bit. You got to see it improve in year two. I don't think that we have. And so now that we're in year three and a lot of the same issues are still there, I mean, concern level, 8 or 9 out of 10? Absolutely.
And Clay, with the thought, like, where they were the worst team. They were scoring like 11, 12 points a game without Tua. And then Tua comes back last week. They score, 27. And like that dynamic, that dynamic of Tua and Hawk. I don't like to give Hawk credit, Clay, but I'll give him where it's done. He was like, Tua's very important to this scheme. Tua's the most important thing to the scheme. But like, I don't know what Andy Reid would do without Patrick Mahomes. I don't know what Monken and Harbaugh would do without Lamar Jackson. So like, is it alarming that our offense falls off damn near 20 points a game if Tua's not playing? And is it a structural thing with how this top-heavy roster, not even offense, the top-heavy roster has been constructed?
Yeah, I don't think that's as alarming to me as some of the other stuff. And I think when you're looking, you're right. The offense obviously looked a lot better with two out there. I think you could say that with any team, you know, any good team with a good quarterback, or any team with a good quarterback that, you know, then there's a significant drop-off. And we knew there was a significant drop-off. I mean, we could argue all day about whether or not they should have gone out and gotten a more capable backup before the season started, and so maybe the drop-off wasn't as steep, but the bottom line is it was. So that didn't alarm me as much as I think, you know, Tua comes back, and yeah, the offense looks better. I think we also have to keep in perspective who they were playing. And it's not that Arizona's a bad football team by any stretch, but I don't think going out and losing a one-point game to Arizona makes you feel a whole lot better about the trajectory of this team than it was the week before. And not that you would feel that way after a loss anyway, but I don't think beating a run-of-the-mill, middle-of-the-pack team is where the aspirations are or where they should be for this football team. I think the hope was you're not just making the playoffs, but they've talked about winning a playoff game. That's not what this team looks like right now. And I don't know that there's an obvious, clear path where between now and the end of the season they get to that point. I'd love to be wrong, but you know, I think we're going to have to see a lot of improvement in a lot of areas. And Mike McDaniel said this, Tua is not the savior. And even though he came back and the offense looked a lot better, still a lot of glaring issues with this team.
How about this? I was just reading a tweet from Joe Shad. This is so wild. I hadn't really realized this. So Joe Shad tweets out, the last time the Dolphins won at the Bills was December of 2016. It was 34-31 in overtime. Matt Moore, 233 yards. Jay Ajayi, 206 yards rushing. Devontae Parker, 85 yards receiving. Michael Thomas, 10 tackles. Cam Wake, 1 sack. Andrew Franks, game-winning field goal. They haven't won there since 2016. But I was going to ask you, before I saw that tweet, I was going to ask you, do you see a path to them winning Sunday? Because if they don't win Sunday, Adam Beasley had written a column in Pro Football Network yesterday about if they don't win in Buffalo, you kind of have to sell off the team because it just didn't work. So do you see a path Sunday?
Well, yeah, look, I'm a big believer in the any given Sunday thing. And I just think that it happens too many times in football where you say, oh, this can't possibly happen. And then it does. So, yes, I can see a potential path. But I think the greater question is there a path for this team between now and the end of the season to become a playoff winning team, like a team that goes out there and wins a playoff game? That's where I'm having a hard time, because I think that's a little you're having to jump over a lot of hurdles there. As far as the selling off the team thing, I've never had a problem with, like, the, hey, if we're not going to win it this year, let's get what we can and even do a soft reset. I just don't think this organization is going to think that way, especially not with how they've given out the contracts, especially not with, man, I mean, I don't know what Chris Greer's level of job security is, but a lot of the issues on this team right now are personnel related. I mean, you remember him
I will say for clarification, Beasley's point in the column was you'll probably get pushback from Chris Greer not wanting to do that, and Stephen Ross needs to overrule him. And Beasley's point was, hey, you might be able to get something for Tyreek Hill and, you know, draft picks. You may be able to get something for, who else did he say? Jalen Ramsey, I guess, Teron Armstead. There's someone I'm missing that was the majority of what he said. I got to look at it real quick. I have it somewhere in my notes. But saying essentially, Raheem Mostert, that you can get rid of some of these aging veterans, and you can get draft picks because you're going to need to restock this team.
Oh, and I agree with that. Yeah, and I think it's two separate discussions: should they or will they? And I don't know that I see Stephen Ross coming in doing that. But if he did, I'd have no problem with that. You just go back to the offseason, and I remember the chuckles, like, hey, we, you know, other people are more concerned about our offensive line than we are. Well, how about now? And I think those are the kinds of things where there's been kind of this, the money hasn't been allocated necessarily to the right spots, and you see it now. And yeah, the roster is top heavy, but the reason why the roster is top heavy isn't just because you've spent a lot of money on Tyreek Hill, Jalen Ramsey, Tua Tagovailoa. Like, that's not the reason why the roster is top-heavy. Roster is top-heavy because you haven't drafted well. You haven't drafted well throughout, not just round one. I'm talking about throughout the course, the depth of the draft. That's where you get your back-end guys. You don't get those guys in free agency. You get those guys in the draft. You develop them to where you put them out there and you feel good about putting out a guy that knows what they're doing. Those have been the issues with this team to me. Like, we can talk about Mike McDaniel and the issues there, how important Tua is. But to me, the number one issue is personnel related. It's just there are too many holes, and I think it really does come back to not drafting well enough.
But Clay, so here's where I'm at, which is, let's say the Dolphins somehow do turn this around and make the playoffs, right? You're saying any given Sunday is a real possibility, which I don't disagree with you, but then I think we've seen this for 3 years already, that what they've built, as you're suggesting, and as you're saying, isn't good enough to compete with the top dogs in the AFC and the AFC East, really. So if they do somehow at least get to the playoffs and salvage this season, aren't we just buying into false hope again that at some point this core can actually produce the results that we all want to see come December and January? Like, to me, it's almost buying into fool's gold again with this team, which is what happened last year.
Right, yeah, and then look, as we sit here on, what, October 29th? Yes, I agree. I think the question would then become, okay, if they got there by the end of the season, is it because something happened that makes you drastically view? Because, I mean, look, where they are right now, they're going to have to really go on a run, and something's going to have to be a lot different for this team that by the end of this, if they get to the point where they win, say, 10 games and make the playoffs, okay, well, how did it happen? Is it because you faced a bunch of backup quarterbacks and you just got lucky and backed your way in? Well, then you can, then yes, I would look at it kind of like you. Or was there some fundamental change? The running game, like, all of a sudden becomes like this massive plus, whatever it is. Yes, I agree with you as we stand here today, but I would wait until the end and figure out what's the why. How did they get there? And that would ultimately answer that question for me.
Clay Ferraro from Local 10. Crowder had to disconnect from New York. That's why he disappeared in the last 5 minutes of our conversation there, Clay. But he waved bye-bye to you.
Oh, that's fine. I'm going to go talk to my favorite Crowder anyway.
What are you giving out at the Ferraro? What are you giving out at the Ferraro household on Thursday for Halloween?
I don't even know. The boss is in charge of that.
You do, like, full-size candy bars? Because you're a high-profile TV guy. Or do you do, like, those little, you know, Halloween-size, you know, bite-size?
No, I'm being completely honest when I say I leave all of that up to my wife. Halloween is, like, one of her favorite holidays. So, I don't even, do you call it a holiday? Whatever it is. Like, it's one of her favorites.
Yeah,
so I turn the keys over to her.
I'm assuming you go trick-or-treating. You do all the stuff. You're dressing up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, much like the greatest piece of wisdom I got before our wedding was, you as the groom are a prop. And it's the same thing in Halloween. I am a prop. Whatever my wife wants me to do, I am just there to take up space in the picture so that she can feel happy about what the picture looks like. That's it.
But you understand, though, you know, someone knocks on your door, people are going to recognize you. Or vice versa, you knock on someone's door, you'll be recognized, unless you're wearing a mask. You can't give away sweet tarts. You know, the little pack that has two sweet tarts in it. Like, you're local 10. Like, you can't do that. Elliot Rodriguez can't do that. Will Manso can't do that. Like, you have a reputation to uphold.
I think you know me well enough to know that I stopped caring about what my reputation was like. I don't know. The second I started coming on your show.
On this show. Yeah.
When we tell the same joke at the same time, you know.
that brings everything full circle. I think we're done here, Clay. Your final appearance ever. We have come to the end of the internet. There you go. Clay Ferraro from Local 10. See you, Clay.
It's been nice knowing you, buddy.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Jimmy, hit him with a yeah, boy!
Yeah, boy!
Hawk and Crowder.